90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio. You're listening to Love in the 21st Century. Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Cartridge World in Chico. Cartridge World provides cost-effective, environmentally friendly alternative to purchasing new printer consumables, specializing in refilling of laser and inkjet cartridges and related products at 760 Mangrove in the Safeway Plaza. More info by calling 342-3333. Are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. My name is Brian Anthony Phoenix, and you're here listening to Love in the 21st Century. And Love in the 21st Century, if you haven't heard about it yet, it is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity, one-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, and one-third compassion training. Awesome. So I bet you're wondering what third are we going to be talking about today? Well, today is the 1st of August, which means that we are going to be starting a new theme. We like to do themes here on Love in the 21st Century for each month, and we are starting off a new theme. This was formulated and brought forth as an idea by one of our co-hosts, Desiree Susan, and that idea is, subject matter is loving the differences. Specifically, she was talking about loving the differences in regards to our relationships, people that we are, in contact with, people that we have a great deal of love for, and yet we are all human beings and we have our own differences and the things that make us unique, as well as some of the stuff that probably has been some of society's programming that sometimes might disallow us from really being our authentic self. And sometimes that can be a difficult, those can be difficult waters to navigate. When we love people, we see the core value of who they are, and yet we are all carrying around some form of domestication that may not have us expressing that authentic, true, loving light all the time. And so, yeah, sometimes we got to navigate these relationships with people that we love. And, we also want to take it a step further and talk about society at large in that regard and how we can bring love into the realms of interaction and realms of conversation and, the inevitable unification and of thoughts and ideas and different peoples and cultures. So that's what I'm gonna kick off the conversation with that. And I'm gonna start by saying that if you are listening to this right now and you are interested in joining in this conversation, I have a trusty little telephone here that is ready to transfer your phone call onto the air if you want to put your two cents in. And so I'm just going to kind of get rolling with a part of the conversation. I'm solo in the booth tonight, so I'm gonna you know, be as entertaining as possible. It's one of the reasons why I picked that song. That was a instrumental song called Virtual Insight by Grammatic, and it just kind of gets me pumped up. You guys, I didn't put this on air, but I was dancing and freestyling in preparation for this talk, and so I'm pumped up. I hope you are too. So let's get into it. And I'm going to start by really just saying that my contribution to this particular topic, we just kind of formulated this, and actually we ended up kind of doing a different schedule. So you know, I didn't have time to really get someone lined up that's a professional in the field or do a lot of research on this. That being said, my life feels like it's been a lot of research in this area, and what I mean by that is really just coming to an understanding through observation and through very important parts of my life that allowed me to break through some of the walls that were built around my heart, that were built around my ability to empathize, for my ability to connect with other human beings. And as a result, it shifted my perspective in how we interact with each other. And realistically, you know, why we are the way we are. And I think that's a fundamental beginning point of really understanding the ability to love the differences, or at least bring love into a relationship where there are differences. You know, there are sometimes I have put out information on, say, like Facebook about bringing more love into, for example, situations of a great social unrest. And I know that there can be kind of a backlash when I say that, because sometimes people might think that, you know, I want them to go out and just bear hug someone who they feel is being socially unjust, someone who is obviously promoting something like violence or racism or such, you know, something in that realm of extremes. And I just want to preface this by saying that when I go into this talk about loving the differences, really what we're attempting to do is attempting to see where can love fit into the picture that can make these important actions that we have to take as human beings, especially in this modern day and age, where can we utilize this incredibly powerful force that we know as love to be able to be more efficient at what we're doing? So I'm not going to ask anyone to immediately turn around and love someone that has, you know, been hurtful to them, or some, you know, a political figure that is obviously not does not have our best interests in mind. That being said, and this is I have a blog that's going to be coming up pretty soon on a website that I started called Humanity Harmonized, and one of the blog posts that I've been kind of outlining is the title is "Love Is in parentheses, the answer to everything." So what does that mean? So in this conversation of loving the differences, I like to consider this definition of love, and that is that love is a driving force that permeates all creation, and especially is found in every single aspect of life. Love is the force that desires to promote, sustain, evolve, and support life and its flourishing, in its nourishment, in its healing. This is a force that we can see in all living things, and we can potentially see it throughout the universe when we look closely. So, and that being said, love also has a magnetic quality where it seeks itself in other things. which is why typically without a lot of programming or particular domestication that prevents this from happening, most living creatures will tend to love each other. I mean, we see these videos of YouTube videos of random different types of animals that have been raised together, and you know, one out in the wild would definitely be the predator of the other, and they end up getting along for the entirety of their life. You know, in nature, obviously there's programs that say, okay, in a ecological hierarchy, you know, this animal has to be consumed in order for this particular animal to survive, so on and so forth. We also have similar domestication as human beings, which suggests that, you know, we are only supposed to be loving in these particular situations with these particular people for this particular reason. So when we talk about loving the differences, what I like to start by doing is leveling the playing field. Thich Nhat Hanh taught me. Thich Nhat Hanh is an amazing. He's a Buddhist monk who is an amazing speaker and spiritual teacher. He has been very influential in my spiritual upbringing. And there was a really powerful. I spoke about this last time I was on the air with Desiree. There was a really powerful meditation that he taught me, and that was it was a meditation where you imagine you visualize sitting with your parents in a place where you both are children. So, and the idea behind this, it's a meditation to heal any kind of wounds between yourself and your parents, whatever that might be, whether they're really deep and traumatizing or whether it's just, whatever comes up for us when we think that, you know, there were some things that our parents were, passed on generations after generations of different programming. So when it got to us, you know, even if they did the best that they could, they still passed on things that maybe might not be so ideal in our most potent evolution, and that's not maybe authentic to our true selves. So the idea behind this meditation was to sit with your parents as a child, you as a child, and them as a child. And just to observe who they were when they were children, and to see the equal ability to be this just loving, expressive, creative being who really all just wants to love, processes, emotions in a way that doesn't necessarily lead to a lot of story, but just, you know, is expressing life as life wishes to be expressed through that being. And this was a really powerful meditation for me because it extended into my understanding and my ability to, you know, do my best at seeing what is actually going on when I am in conflict with another being, or I see people in the larger global political pictures that, you know, seem to be fairly bad people or evil or whatever it might be. And again, I know that this particular exercise could be incredibly difficult for a lot of us when it comes to, you know, some of the people that we could view as being incredibly evil, or someone that has done terrible things in our life. And the idea of me bringing this up, however, is that it teaches a lesson in the ability to develop willingness to see how we as human beings have been domesticated. I use this phrase domestication a lot because it was really solidified in my vocabulary and in my understanding by Don Miguel Ruiz. He is the writer, the author of several amazing books that are based on Toltec shamanic traditions, and the Toltec wisdoms that he weaves through his books are amazing. So you might have heard of the Four Agreements. The Mastery of Love is another one. The Tree of Knowledge, I haven't had a chance to read. I'm in the middle of listening to the audiobook called The Toltec Art of Life and Death. And he talks a lot about domestication, and domestication being the natural, which, you know, it is in its fundamental purpose, is a natural process of guiding a developing human being to exist in this world. That being said, each society has its own version of domestication, and a lot of that domestication in our society has to do with breaking and distorting, mutating, caging, diminishing a lot of the natural process, not natural parts of who we are, that if left to flourish would lead to us becoming more authentically expressive and creative human beings. So that being said, when I talk about domestication, we're talking about this process of where we are told that there are really certain circumstances, certain ways, certain instances where we can love, for example. So I like to use this as a fundamental idea of this topic as we move forward through this month. And that is, and it comes with an invitation, and that is when we've become willing, and this is really the cornerstone, or the hinge pin, we should say, upon where this conversation connects, is willingness, right? So we're not going to, there's not really a point to attempt to love the differences in others if there's not a willingness. So first there has to be a willingness, and if there's not a willingness in one particular realm of our life, then that doesn't mean we need to force it. But it does start with willingness. And so once we find that willingness, the invitation now with this particular idea is to see if we can consider when we, let's say it's a loved one that we are in conflict with, a close loved one, or, you know, someone in our family, and or a friend, longtime friend, whatever it might be, and we are in conflict with this person. And we know that we love them, and yet it seems like we are butting heads with them in many different ways that are causing us to step outside of our integrity and are disallowing us from having what we feel like would otherwise be a great relationship. At this point, it might be a good opportunity to consider the invitation to sit with this person in a kind of energetic way. If they're willing to do it physically, then, you know, that might actually be pretty healing. But the idea is sitting with this person in your mind and in your heart, and just and imagine this person as a young child, and imagine seeing them playing and having fun and doing all the things that all the children love to do, and then maybe coming to the understanding of, you know, whether you know specifically what happened, just coming to the understanding that at some point something happened that brought a strong enough programming into this being's life that turned their process toward whatever it is that seems to be in conflict with you. And I know that when I am feeling I'm in conflict with someone, or I'm not in agreement, there definitely can be an observation of, and I do this exercise, and there can be an observation that, you know, I start recognizing that this person might carry some kind of fear dynamics regarding something. They're afraid of something, and so this this reaction that is happening that is toxic to our relationship is as a result of fear. Also recognizing, too, what can come up in my own process as a result, and realizing that I can also be triggered, and I will use that word with the understanding that I know that it's typically used in the realm of psychological analysis with people that have, you know, things like PTSD and traumatic experiences. I don't use it lightly. And so when I use the word triggered, however, there are, I would say, things that there can be deep-seated, what the Buddhists called sankharas, where there's a particular reaction of aversion to life that can put us on the defensive. And so recognizing that, you know, stepping back and kind of recognizing where both of us might be doing that, you know, where we are both reacting. And then I can do at that point, if I am in touch with what is been going on in my personal process, then I can take some steps to view that and analyze it. And there's several techniques available to be able to dissect that and hopefully resolve it and transmute it into a better process. Now, with the other person, it's not my responsibility to change another person's process. However, if I want to be in relationship with them and I want to see where we can meet eye to eye, for me, it starts with kind of understanding, okay, where does it seem like this person is acting out of a place of pain, out of fear? And then at that point, this is the best time to bring in empathy. And empathy is going to be the medicine that is probably, I would say, you know, empathy is really the medicinal balm that is an extension of the energy of love that we can use to help mend our relationships. Now, I know that when this conversation gets going with some of the people that I know, and sometimes online, again, we kind of backtrack to, okay, bringing empathy into particular situations just seems like it won't work. Like in regards to, say, like social justice, there is a lot going on in that realm, and I don't want to go too deeply into it out of, you know, I don't want to flare up a conversation that would diminish the basis of the foundation of this particular talk. However, it is important because this is a major realm where I've seen incredible conflict online, where people from different backgrounds view what is going on in a particular way. And I totally honor and respect every person who is in the realm, stepping up into the realm of social justice, who has been directly affected by any of the oppressive actions that have been taken against them. And that being said, there's a lot of conversation going on with people that aren't directly involved in this, and what I see, and when I say directly involved, I mean all of us are involved in some way as a human race, but people who might not be directly involved as being the oppressed people in a particular situation, I see conversations going on where there's a lot of conflict, and I can kind of see the dynamics of the different upbringings and programmings and just seeing where people are reacting out of fear or hatred or, you know, misdirected anger. And when I say misdirected, I don't use that lightly. I'm not saying that I judge anyone's anger as being good or bad or not right. That being said, there are particular instances, because I speak from experience, where I've been in a position where I have stepped up to the plate to, you know, debate and shoot some fire in a particular conversation, and then step back and realize, oh, I just had some internal anger that I was like looking for an opportunity to throw away. So to wrap that back around, what I see in these particular conversations is I see an opportunity for us to use this concept of empathy not as a way to say, okay, I completely agree with this person over here, or I completely agree with these tactics, or I completely agree with what's going on out, you know, out in the greater picture. That being said, I feel like there's a lot of ways when we come to the concept of loving the differences, there's a lot of ways where we probably could connect as human beings and be able to bridge some of the gaps that cause separation just through the concept of empathy. And what I mean by that is that, you know, let's say someone has one very strong opinion about something and otherwise would be someone that you would totally resonate with. But this one opinion prevents you from completely viewing that person as a good person, let's say. And of course, it depends on what that opinion is. If, you know, there are certain viewpoints out there that can really are unacceptable to some of us, and I totally honor that. The idea that I'm bringing up here, though, is that this is where the willingness piece comes in. Can we take a step back and bring a willingness to empathize, or a willingness to at least try to understand where this opinion came from? And I would invite some of you, and I've started doing this because I put the invitation out there and then realized that I wasn't doing this. And so I was like, I got to step up to the plate. And the invitation was to invite someone to a voice, either phone conversation or a face-to-face conversation where someone that you might be in conflict with on, say, like social media, you know, or whatever it might be, or a family member, and just, you know, have a conversation about where does this come from? Why do you view this particular topic the way that you do? And this does take a particular willingness that, you know, we might not be able to cultivate with some people. I understand that. It takes courage, because what we're doing is the idea is to invite this conversation as a treaty, as a point to legitimately attempt to understand as much as you can about where this person is coming from. So, you know, when we talk about loving the differences, we don't necessarily, again, have to love the difference directly. We don't have to love the opinion that someone might hold or love the action that someone might have or have taken or would like to take or whatever it might takes regularly, you know. And so the idea behind that is that we can be willing, and in that willingness, there might be a place for growth. There might be a place for further understanding of ourselves, further other understanding of the other person, further of understanding of society at large. Because as we expand this empathy and expand this understanding, when we start asking, like, what's the root? Like, where are the roots of this issue coming from? The roots hold the answers. The origination of a lot of the stuff that we are debating about and talking about in this in our particular society is, I mean, it's deep. So when we talk about loving the differences as a whole, we really, in regards to at the world at large or our, you know, American society, we are talking about stepping back and doing the same kind of process. Like, you know, what would America look like if we didn't have these deep roots in some really gnarly things that we're still healing? and understanding that a lot of the programming that is still carried around by human beings is as a result of these pretty gnarly scenarios that we have undertaken in this society. And we're gonna get to our promo here. I'm gonna play our promo, and then I actually have a guest caller calling in here around 5:35. All right, so we have Tamara Wickma calling in at 5:35. So we are going to get with this here promo, and we will be back.
KZFR presents an evening of comedy and political craziness with Will Durst and Mary Standish at the Chico Women's Club.
Everybody says to me, oh man, Durst, Trump must be a gift from comedy heaven. Well, yeah, but no, because how do you parody a parody?
From San Francisco, it's Will Durst at the Chico Women's Club, Friday, August 11th, with local heroes, funny folks, Mary Standish. Doors at 7, show at 8 o'clock. You can get tickets at Chico Paper Company in downtown Chico, online at kzfr.org, and at Blazin' J's in Chico. Will Durst with Mary Standish, coming Friday, August 11th, to the Chico Women's Club. It's a KZFR benefit. Tickets also available at Music Connection in Chico.
All right, we are back here, 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio, and we are live with Love in the 21st Century. I have Tamra Wickma on the line. Are you there, Tamra?
I am.
Yeah! Welcome. Tamra is, of course, the late, great primary host of this show. So we always love when she can call in and enjoy the conversation. Super stoked about that. How are you doing
today? Thank you so much. I'm doing really well. Just enjoying some beautiful sunlight in Maui on the beach, and excited to be calling in and join the conversation. Always excited to talk about love.
Maui, awesome. That's wonderful.
Good healing vibe.
Absolutely. I actually have a good friend, if she's ever listens to this, Pamela Alejandra. She's actually my creative designer for the Humanity Harmonized Project, and she lives out in Maui. I need to connect you with her. So remember, take a note about that. So have you been listening to the show up to this point by chance?
I haven't.
Okay, awesome. Well, then I'll just fill you in. I basically have just been going on my solo monologue. So what we've been, you probably saw in the Facebook post that basically we are talking about loving the differences. And in that regard, what we're talking about is, so Desiree came up with this topic specifically regarding, you know, like loving relationships that we have with people that we care about. But we might not see eye to eye on one or several things, you know? And so it's like, what can we, you know, how can we use this awesome force that we know as love in order to bridge the gap? Or, you know, what I was going to get into talking about a little bit later, maybe you want to speak this too, is also, you know, where to know when to draw those proper boundaries, you know, and remain in your energetic sovereignty. So, whatever feels like it's coming through for you. What's your feels on that?
Thank you. Really important conversation to have, because we think about love in kind of like the lofty, easy kind of love, and not so much about the challenging. Oh, it's hard to love in this like situation and differences, and how we as a culture. Culture of non-culture addresses love in or challenges in our intimate relationships and in our family and in the world. And so for me, the first thing that comes to mind is like my relationship with my parents. And my relationship with my parents is really great now. And I say now because it wasn't always so great. There was definitely times when it was really challenging for us to interact. And I feel like probably around my early 20s, when I was really like setting my identity as separate from my family. And I remember coming home and having a conversation with my dad and him just kind of getting challenged.
Hold on, Tamra, there's a lot of
conversation. I'm sure it was something political in nature, and we have different political views. And so he was letting me know, you know, what he felt like I should be supporting. And it just had to get to the point where I said, no, like, I can't, like, you can't talk to me like this. And so I ended up leaving. And for me, that was a really big standing in my power moment, where I knew, like, I told my dad that I loved him, but I couldn't continue to allow myself to be interacted with in that way, because it was disempowering for me. And if I did choose to let myself continue to be interacting with him that way, then I was supporting it and I was allowing it. And so for a while, I don't, you know, maybe like 6 months, maybe a year, whenever challenging conversations came up, I left. I had to leave. Not so that I would avoid the conversation, because usually we would start talking and then he would, as I would say, he would go for the jugular. He would just go for like the most like ludicrous comment, like of like judgment around my beliefs, and like expect me to come back at that. And it would just be really hurtful. And so I chose to stand my ground and say, you know, if you want to talk to me about this, I'm willing to like listen to you and like hear you out and like not argue with you about it, but I don't like arguing with you. And over time our relationship changed where we could have conversations about it, or he wasn't trying to interact with me in that way. But what I learned in that situation is that he wasn't trying to maliciously upset me. And I mean, I had to move through that energy of realizing, like, there's a part of me that thought, oh wow, he really wants to just upset me. But then, like, in reflection, and when I was able to leave and really understand why he was doing that, it was that was the way that he expressed love. That was an emotion, anger or like frustration or like getting excitable about politics was something that he learned was socially acceptable and a way to communicate with someone. And so once I was able to release the judgment of like, or like what I thought was happening, it really allowed space to understand why he was communicating with me in that way. And it helped to transform our relationship so that we don't go to that place. You know, there isn't an invitation to go to that place. And for a while, it took me standing in my power and saying no in order for things to change.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. One of the things that really stood out in what you just said, especially towards the end, is just that, you know, that's the way he expressed love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such, like, wow, like there's so much encapsulated in that particular statement, because I mean, our parents and you know, people throughout modern civilization, you know, we've had some really twisted ways of showing love, you know, mm-hmm. passed down. And you know, and some of, and when I say twisted, you know, it's like, it's just like, I you didn't hear it at the beginning of the show, but I mentioned a definition of love that I was formulating earlier before the show. And that is, you know, love is basically, it's the expression of the life force within all living things that seeks to evolve and promote itself and sustain itself and create harmony. Mm-hmm. And it has that magnetic quality of trying to find love in other things. And we as human beings, I mean, we need that, right? You know? And
right.
So it's like when we're children and we realize that we only get the attention that we're craving when we do something like, you know, for me, actually, mm-hmm. I'll just mention, like, when I was young, when I was at daycare, I did this thing where I would, like, I did the pity thing. Like, I did the, like, mm-hmm. you know, like sad Brian thing, so that people would, like, pity me and, like, give me attention.
Right.
Because I realized that was the most efficient way for me to get attention at that time. Like,
right.
So it's just interesting because, I mean, like, Shannon Sheridan, who's a local therapist, and she does an awesome thing called the Authentic Being course, which she has a new one coming up, and I'm hoping to interview her actually soon. She talks about how, right. you know, fundamentally, you know, most people, like, do things that aren't very nice from a place of love in some way, you know, I mean, like there's like love at the core of most of those actions in somewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I really appreciate you sharing that. And I appreciate you, you know, coming to a place of identification where you could step back and actually look at the greater picture to see,
right.
to see what was actually going on.
Absolutely. I was just talking with a friend last night about something similar around, like, when people are really, like, angry or frustrated or kind of, like, having outbursts that we often don't understand, that if we're able to look at it from the perspective of, like, I want love or I need love, like, what is it that the person is really wanting? What are they claiming? And, like, moving beyond, like, the words or the actions, because I think, I truly believe at the end of it, we really do, that's what we're trying to receive, is like that love or that validation or that appreciation or that admiration in some way. And for my parents' relationship and I, it was like that validation of like, I respect you. I respect you and I'm not going to disagree. Even though I don't agree with you, I'm not going to be, you know, disrespectfully disagreeing with you, because it means, you know, nothing. But also, like, on that other degree that of relating, like, there's like a permission in our society, especially among men, to communicate in a kind of aggressive, mean way. And that it's a bonding sort of thing. And I have two older brothers, and so I think in that sense, I was like a teacher for my dad of like, okay, this is not like, this doesn't really work for our interaction. And like I said, it took me really standing in that. And when you had mentioned earlier, like when do I think that people should be like really definitive about their differences and like less, like hold their boundaries.
Mm.
And I would say like for me in that situation and in most situations, I feel like if you feel like you're being offended, hurt, or definitely someone's being violent towards you in any way, like you need to hold your ground and you need to remove yourself from that situation. You can still send them love from a distance and,
absolutely,
you know, let them know, you know, or to energetically send them the love that you know that they're really craving, but remove yourself from any situation that is damaging to us. Like, I don't think that at any point do we need to sit there and tell people like, or make reason for why we're sitting there with them in their misery. It's like, okay, when you decide to move out of that or to communicate with me in a way that I can understand, then I'll be willing to like sit with you there. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop loving you. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop sending you love and thinking about you, but I'm not going to continue to participate.
Absolutely. I think that's a very, I was hoping you would touch on that, because I think that's an incredibly important point. And that's kind of the next step of what I was talking about. I spent most of the first half of the show kind of talking about the ways that we can kind of empathize and understand. Now, that being said, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, from what you just said in your story, it sounded like, and I think this can be applied on the microcosm, the macrocosm level, is that like, you know, your ability to step back and look at the situation and from a more open-minded perspective, which essentially is kind of a little more, you know, empathetic way, you were able to see, mm-hmm. you were able to see more clearly, like what is going on. And so when you see more clearly what is going on, you can then see more clearly where it is that your boundaries need to be drawn. And you can see
Absolutely.
More, you can see more clearly, you know, I've heard talks about people that have been, in a particular relationship where, you know, maybe, you know, let's say it was an abusive relationship. And I heard this story, like basically where it was like, it wasn't until that person, who knew that they were being hurt actually stepped back and both developed enough love for themselves to realize that this was completely against their integrity, but also like developed the understanding, because when they were in it, they were just like, I just don't understand why this is going on. Like, you know, so they were trying to like fix and, you know, be in it still to try to see if there's a way to solve it. And then when they actually stepped back, they were able to both understand more about why that person was motivated to do what they were doing. And as a result, where they were like, oh, I can't fix that person right now, so I'm going to step back from this completely. So,
right.
Yeah, that was,
definitely.
Yeah, very, very good stuff there. Do you feel like that particular kind of understanding could be brought into the larger perspective of how we interact with, you know, people at large in this society?
Yeah, you know, that's exactly where I was going to go with that. And I have countless stories. I mean, the reality is we're having interactions with people that have differences of opinions than me, and I mean, just from like, from political stuff to like custom cultural things to just like, you know, we're different people. Like, we have different views about how people should dress, how people should talk. Like, we just are different. And so I've had lots of different experiences. And what's interesting is that I've had the perspective of like having clear intentions of being like, I'm in like, you know, I feel like I intuitively feel like I'm in right relation with what I'm doing and who I am, and still have like these unfortunate circumstances with people where I feel their judgment or I feel their negative perspective towards me. And it sometimes takes me a minute to remember to question what this individual really wants. Like, what are they needing? I mean, most of the time it's, you know, it's love. It's always love in some form, but are they feeling misunderstood? Are they feeling jealous? Are they feeling shy? Are they feeling reserved or judged by me? Like, there's all these different things that are usually going on for other individuals. And if we can just take that time to really assess okay, where is this coming from? Then we can usually move through it and send them the love that they need in order to heal and keep going on our own mission. And for me, I've had that perspective of, like, when I'm in a professional role, I've done a lot of community-based work. And when I'm in that role, it's really easy to do because it's that's my role. My role is to understand that people are frustrated and how to read through their frustration to really be able to help them. Mm-hmm. Now, as the human, the not the role person, and just in my everyday life, it's harder. It's harder to do that because I forget. It's like almost like when you're wearing that hat, you remember, oh, right, this is my role to read people and to understand what they need. And then in human life, it's a little bit more challenging. But I would just say that absolutely, if we can just take the time, take 3 minutes, take 5 minutes, take 15 minutes, however long it takes, once we really feel triggered or like agitated by somebody, that we can really find out what they really need and hopefully help them get it, or at least, like, you know, send them the positive vibes that they're going to get it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. Very well spoken. Yeah, and I think,
we can
also kind of branch that out and we can apply this to differences that might not be so, like, conflicting. You know, one of the things that
right.
I was also talking about is, you know, I mean, even without all the you know, quote unquote domestication that is more stifling or more based on fear and anger and all these like kind of intense emotions, I mean, after a lot of that's cleared away, we're still different people, right? And we're still going to have
right.
different resonances with different people. And so, you know, we can still, I think this is where the loving the differences comes into play, is that it's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
once we've kind of cleared out some of the stuff, we step back. Then we can start honoring people. It's like, oh, this person just has a way different way of looking at the world, and that's just how their mind works, you know, as a
right.
as opposed to, you know, there's the programming thing. So I think that formula can be used in a lot of different ways in regards to just being able to step back and understand, like, oh, okay, this person just has a different operating system than I do.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. And personally, I just love the differences. I feel like we really get to learn what the human mind and the human life is capable of by interacting with all different types of people. And so I think the more that we can get into that reality of curiosity, the better off we're going to be, and to really just love people where they're at. I feel like there's one of the reasons that we're in so much turmoil in this world is we restrict love and we put bounds and limitations on it. Like, I can't love you if, and it's like, I mean, every person in my life I love unconditionally, regardless of what they've done or what they will do, you know, or what they could do. I love them because of the, you know, the pure essence that they are. And I feel like if more of that existed in our world, people feeling more fulfilled and actually not feeling restricted or unlovable and loving themselves, I think we'd live in a really different world.
Absolutely. Well, Tamara, thank you so much, as always, as calling in and being a part of the conversation. Do you have any events or any services, anything that you would like to promote or tell people about while we have about 30 seconds or so?
Cool. Thank you so much, Brian. You're totally rocking it. And yeah, I do. I'm doing relationship coaching and helping people with energetic practices to help themselves get aligned in their lives and manifest the relationships that they desire. So I can be reached at Tamara, TAMRA.WICHMA, WICHMA @gmail.com.
Yeah, I would highly suggest reaching out to Tamara to see what that's about, if it's resonating with you, because I know that she's got the goods.
Thank you, Brian. Likewise.
Yeah. Hey, much love and enjoy your time in Hawaii, and we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So you heard it here on Love in the 21st Century. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have Ecotopia up next, so please stay tuned. And yeah, thanks for joining the conversation. Please tune in every Tuesday. We've got four more Tuesdays this month, so we're going to have four different conversations. And we actually have some exciting stuff coming up this month, too. We might have an interview, live or recorded interview, with a Buddhist monk that's coming into town, Adam Mose, one of his teachers, Chamchul. I can't pronounce his second part of his name, but yeah, stay tuned. We got some exciting things coming up. So thanks for tuning in to 90.1 KZFR and Chico, and loving the 21st century. We love you all, and we're gonna end with some Randy Carlisle.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia, speaking with Aqua Alliance Executive Director Barbara Vlamis about North State water issues.